Alex, and welcome to the Snowies Camping Show with Ben and Lauren. How are you, Ben?
I'm well. Thanks.
I'm glad.
We've got a bit of a fun episode today.
We do have a bit of
because we just needed to lighten up a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, we
do. Lots going on.
Lots going on. Very full plates. Definitely a fun episode for you today. But before we get into it, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast, and also head over to our Facebook page, Snowy's Camping Banter, and get in on the conversation happening in our community. Now, we've done a couple of these episodes before, so this will be episode number 3 of The Weird and Wonderful. Now, we really love to do these episodes, and I in particular love preparing for these episodes because it's just so fun.
There's no boundaries.
Well, you're just scrolling the internet. There's just the most coolest stuff out there and not cooler. And a lot of the stuff is from Kickstarter. So it's like companies that have designed something that they're trying to get off the ground and get backers to make and things like that.
Do you know, I always, whenever we do these, I always think back to the first one. And when I say the first one, I actually first wrote a blog article on weird and wacky.
Yeah, that gave us the idea, didn't it?
And there's two items on there that always come to mind. One of them is the canned witch and the video associated with the canned witch, where these guys are just like popping cans and there's just flying sandwiches going across these disco people on rollerblades.
You're very easily amused. When we recorded that episode, I found out a lot about you as a person.
But the best one though was squat strap.
Yeah, that was like, go back and look at those episodes, because they were very funny.
And watch the videos that are attached. I don't know if it's the squat strap thing, which is literally a strap.
Just a strap that you wrap around yourself so you can squat without falling over.
Drop bricks next to a tree while...
Oh, God. Anyway.
Well, I can't think of the guy's name in the white suit, but anyway, we've already talked about that.
So, I know, Dr. Squat, some ridiculous thing like that.
Oh, I can't
But go back and listen to that episode if you want to listen to Ben wheezing and not being able to breathe hysterically because of half of those products. Yep. But I think the Weird and Wonderful number 2 episode was pretty good. We had a better mixture of sort of like cool and weird stuff, less laughter. And I feel like this episode is less laughter and more just – most of this stuff is sort of cool.
It's a bit more techie, some of this stuff. There's some awesome things in here that you go, oh my, that's ridiculous. But if someone bought that for me,
I'd be okay.
I'd be pretty happy with that. Yeah.
Now, also the other thing I want to preface, and sorry for those of you listening to this episode, but for those watching on YouTube, you might notice that I have one long sleeve green sleeve and one arm that is not green, but progressively getting bluer. And that's because
you have to roll it up.
That's because I've had to roll it up because the screen behind us, our Snowy's logo, is like green screen imposed on that. And if I have my arm down, I'm just going to do it. Our podcast editor is going to go crazy, but I'll just pull it down for you, right?
So it's just Lauren's
if you're
hand.
Watching this online, I haven't seen it, but if I put my arm up here, maybe my arm disappears. Like I'm not sure.
Hold my
can
pen
we like, ooh, look,
out of
I don't
nowhere.
Know.
I mean, supposed to grab my pen.
I mean, we're doing this and it looks normal.
Isn't that funny? It's like Thing from Adam's Family.
It looks normal in real life, but maybe when you're watching it right now, maybe it's doing what we think it's doing.
If it's not, then we just look stupid.
We 100% look stupid. But anyway, just, you know, to be sure, I'm rolling up my sleeve and cutting circulation off to my hand.
Just to clarify, Lauren's arm was supposed to disappear then. Hopefully that's what happened.
Yes. So if you are watching this on YouTube, that's some bonus content for you. Now let's get into it. First one, lead the way, Benji, my man.
We only recently got this one in the range from Campfire.
Something we sell,
A popcorn pan, which is, I guess it's more wonderful than weird. It's just a pan with a kind of open top and you put your popcorn candles
in
there.
It's like a Jaffa iron.
I think it's, I haven't actually handled one. I think it's a lighterweight material, but you just put it over a low flame and
in your campfire or your stove,
and it's got holes in the top so it doesn't get all, I guess it needs to breathe a bit so the popcorn stays nice and sort of dry, I guess.
Yeah, it's sort of like you would imagine you close a Jaffa line, it's like that, except the top section is, like you say, it's got holes in it. It's like a big sort of cage. And your popcorn pops in there. And we sold so many of these the day it went online.
Have we really?
Yeah, we sold heaps of them. Oh, wow. I thought it was super interesting. And I know personally because I moonlighted in our dispatch area and packed like heaps of orders and a lot of those popcorn pans or whatever they're called were in the orders.
There you go.
The only thing I would probably make note of about this is I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's cool. But I would probably need to make about 50 of these to satisfy my kids because they go nuts for popcorn.
But you know what? If kids keep them occupied, give them a bag of corn kernels. Oh, mate,
do it themselves.
Maker.
Genius. Love popcorn. That. Yep. Love that idea.
Yep. Simple, but wonderful.
So the next thing that's popped up now, I should also probably preface this that I sort of keep a weird and wonderful document going. And whenever I see stuff over time, I just chuck it in here. And when we sort of have enough for an episode, then away we go.
I should also preface that I literally looked at this list about 5 minutes ago before we sat down here. So
you're a real expert.
I've been through and had a bit of a laugh and formulated some opinions within 5 minutes. So,
do you know what? That means that people are getting this raw. They're getting the raw, unedited Ben.
Yeah.
Nice. Love that.
Well, that's most episodes for us anyway.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true. So the next one is a side table with a built-in snack table, snack bowl, cup, bottle, whatever holders and an ice bucket. And it's basically like a two-tiered quad fold table. And the top has got your four bottle holder things in it on each corner with a hole in the middle that has a mesh thing that you can shovel your snacks in, or you can put a bowl in there of chips or something. And then underneath is another layer that has a big ice bucket. So realistically it's like a
portable
quad fold camping
snack. I don't know. I'm making things up. Game
table, beer table.
Check it out.
Combine it with a projector and a screen. Watch the footy, have your like footy snack table.
You're in the maze in the backyard or the park or something and just want to look like you've settled in.
I don't know. I just thought it was cool. I mean, I wouldn't buy it, but I can see heaps of people who would.
We will put links to these in the product description. So click there. If our description now, there's absolutely nothing to try and understand what this looks like.
Yeah.
Just click on the link and check it out. I like your description on this one. Spinning fly windmill thingos.
Correct.
There's the technical term. This seems like a ripoff of another, I've seen it in Audi actually, something called a shoo-away, which is basically like a horizontal windmill with soft sort of.
Yeah, I mean.
Like soft floppy bits. When it spins, it just shoos the flies for you.
So, yeah. And so the look on your face just saying, holy moly, mate. So the reason why I put this into this episode is because we actually have had heaps of requests from customers for us to stock these. And they're like, either you can get battery operated versions, USB rechargeable versions, and they just, you know, like less than the size of a drink bottle. But like you say, the little
just long
windmill thingies
things.
Are like these long, thick, I don't know if they're PVC or some sort of plastic, but then obviously when the turbine spins, they just
shoo the flies
away.
Magic. I guess it works.
And they're popular.
Yeah. Saves going like this.
Yeah.
And for those not watching, I'm waving my hands around my face.
And I think if you have like, it's more, I mean, you can hang them up and there's a whole different ways that you do them, but I think they're mostly not for you to hold next to your face, but to put on like tables and things to just keep the flies away. And
I can see you could put food underneath it, right? Like you could put plates underneath it. So if it sat between these plates and spun around, it'd probably keep the flies away.
It just occurred to me, I've had like an epiphany, but for most people listening to that, they're probably going to be like, duh. The reason why the blades are soft is because if you're putting them over food, you can just reach down and grab food. And if the blades hit your hand, it's no dramas because they're soft.
You've only just worked that out.
Right. Yeah. You're sitting there like, oh, you've only just, as if you also, you're just trying to play it cool. You didn't even think about that.
Well, I didn't think I need to think about it. It was that obvious.
Okay, fine. Just look. Right,
next one.
Laid on thick, mate.
This is.
Isn't it my turn?
It's weird. Oh, fine. It's your turn. This is out of control. So we're not even halfway through this
list. We're not. So my next one is Cedar Summit. Now this is a wonderful thing because when I saw this, I was like, what? It's a stainless steel, D2 of stainless steel utensil set, right? So obviously, as the name suggests, stainless steel utensil set, but it's, tongs, one of those, spoony things with a hole and the little sticky uppy bits for noodles.
Have a look at the link if you're not sure what that means.
You know, like a spoon, but it's got the little teethy bits so you can scoop
like
noodles.
A pasta scoop. Thing,
yeah, like a pasta scoop spoon. Yeah, something like that. And then an actual spoon and a spatula.
Yep.
But they all nest together and they've got like a little silicone thing that keeps them together. But you know, they're thick, like they're really heavy duty, stainless steel, thick, bomb proof, but they take up so little room because they nest and pack down small. And I just thought, often with camping gear, you know, and especially things like nesting or compact cookware, it can be really lightweight, but you pick these up and you're like, dang, they got some weight to them. They're really good quality.
And it's got that little attachment. So you can actually put, I don't know what you call it, like just a little, like a V attachment. So you can slide them in each end and then it becomes like tongs.
So there's cutlery. That's a different thing.
I think you can do it with these ones too.
No, because the tongs come as part of the utensil set, bro.
Check the link.
The little V thing comes with the hiking long spoon and long fork.
All right.
That's like their alpha cutlery set. Well, do you know what? We'll put the link up to that as well.
I'm going
to
check it now.
You can. Even if that means that.
I want to prove you wrong or just put my tail between my legs and walk out.
When you look that up and realize you're wrong, I want you to say, I'm sorry, Lauren, you are the greatest of all time.
Clicking the link now, the document that's in front of me, because you've conveniently put the links on here for us. Here we go. Detour stainless steel utensil set, four piece.
Comes with tongs. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. Funny about that. Hey, bro.
Whatever. Oh, it comes with tongs. It comes with tongs, Lauren.
I've said that a few times. We'll just move on now.
As soon as I'm going to do a lightweight one that's got this attachment to turn it into tongs.
Yeah.
And that's.
They're like a hiking fork and a spoon. And then you can. Yeah. Anyway, move on. Your turn.
Drain me now. This one is a bit of a. If funny, this is an Amazon thing, but fitted tablecloth designed for picnic tables. So those classic all-in-one picnic tables.
National parks, campgrounds.
Yep, they've got the bench seats attached to the main table in the middle. It's all just big solid slabs of pine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a red,
it's like
white,
an ironing board cover, right?
Like a red, white, checkered, fitted tablecloth and seat covers that just go over the top of that, which you kind of go, oh, that's a bit bougie. But then you think some of those are pretty ordinary.
Some of those are pretty ordinary.
And if you can take your own tablecloth.
Totally ordinary. Even if it's just that they're like dewy and moist because they're covered in like moss that's moist. I've said moist a few times.
Bird crap on them
or someone's used it before you and they've trashed it. I just saw that and I was like, so genius, so simple. Yeah, you could use a tablecloth, but this is like the top and both bench seats, like ironing board cover or a fitted sheet and, you know.
I think of kids' parties because you take like kids' party, you go and have a theme and you buy one of those plastic tablecloths so they don't really have much, like they just end up in landfill, right?
Yeah.
This is washable so you can just replace it over and over.
And I mean, even like you're outdoors and it's windy, how often have you seen like tablecloths kick up a bit in the wind and people try, nah, mate, you don't have to worry about
that. All the cheesels end up on the bark and kids start crying. And
it's a nightmare.
Anyway,
how good's that though, for
check
real?
Check it out.
Now this one, everyone probably, or not everyone, but a lot of people might know about this already, but a lot of people might not. And you can get stoves, right, that have a grill underneath them. And I think the primary purpose that people go for those is because they love toast, right? They want to make toast. I personally don't find the grill and stove top combos super efficient in terms of if you're aware, like with everything, if you're aware of the limitations, it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people expect the grill to work like it would work on your home and stove, and it just doesn't, right? So Coleman do a four slice camp toaster, and it's essentially just this disc that you put on your gas stove, and it's got like a diffuser built in to the underside of it, and you just set your four pieces of bread on top like a triangle, and then it toasts it, and then you just whip around, and it's so good. You smash four pieces of bread out at once.
Have you used them?
I have.
I must have been using mine wrong, or just using it on too weak a stove, because I had one many, many years ago and I
think
could
it's
not
the weaker stove.
Yeah,
because obviously your toasting needs heat, and so you need enough heat coming out of your stove to go into the diffuser to then be able to generate the diffuse heat to toast.
My old stove that I had obviously wasn't hot enough.
Better to work on a higher BTU stove, but they're a really nifty idea and a good answer to toast when you're camping if you don't have other options.
A lightweight and compact as well. Kamik Outpost, a vehicle-based hammock stand. I assume the Kamek comes from car, Hamek, Kamek, but it's
got
a K instead of a C, but we won't dwell on that. Sorry, Kamek. should we cut that bit?
Yeah, no, it's no. Authentic.
It's a cool idea though. It's, I mean, we've got Austral Hamek stands, which you just assemble and you can put up anywhere. Mm. So it's got like the loops on both sides, but this is essentially just the loop on one side and then a bracket on the other that you can attach to a roof rack and it just kind of goes off the side of your car.
Yeah. Like imagine those, imagine those hills play, swing play sets in your backyard, but with one of the triangle ends cut off and it's attached to your car. It's all like that, but it packs up, which I thought was really interesting. It packs up like the same size as a single stretcher bed sort of thing. Okay. And I just thought it's cool because there's so many different uses for that. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a hammock. You could, I was just thinking about a whole bunch of different ways you could potentially
sleeping off the ground. If you're insects or wet ground or, you know, it's just not suitable for a tent on the beach.
Yeah.
You can set it up anywhere.
And simple, like even if it's just an A-frame to pull a tarp over, like a camp fly or something like that to save you from having to worry about poles, or you need something more solid. Like it seems like a quite a versatile thing.
It's pretty cool. Next one was funny.
It was funny and you were like, oh my gosh, focusing. That's hilarious. But I came across this initially.
This is a big thing that you were going to tell me. I'm not going to wait for the episode to tell you this.
Well, it's not a big thing, but I mean, I came across this on the internet. Then when I did some digging about, oh, you know, where can you buy it? What's the price? Whatever. It turns out that it's produced for aid relief and dispatched around the world to different organizations to provide sort of a easy solution for hand washing. Okay. So essentially for which makes sense, right? But it also is nifty in that.
I think the pocket sink thing's a bit of a stretch.
Well, okay. So it's
– it pockets.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't fit in your pocket is basically – no. But essentially imagine like a lunchbox, right? I guess that's the only thing. Smaller than one of those lunchbox stoves, you know, like those Kookaburra gas butane stoves or whatever. Smaller than that.
But bigger than a pocket.
And then when you open it up, the top of it's either suction caps or hooks or screws onto a surface somewhere, and there's a little tap head and then a drain. And so you can attach your drain hose and then you can suspend your water bag or something over the top, and then that links up to this little tap, and then it all packs into the lunchbox. But it just provides a little sort of sink station. And I just thought someone who has kids or family or I don't know, just sort of thought it was a bit cool.
I guess the fact that it's made for aid workers and stuff makes sense with some of the features in that you've got a little foot lever and also a tap that you can turn on and off without actually touching it with your fingers.
Yep.
So you can wash your hands and then not actually touch the sink to then dry it. So
now
I'm going all positive on it.
No, but I know
what you're laughing at.
No, I'm not laughing at anything. But I see where you're coming from. And I think for me, I was like, this will be funny for the win, wonderful. And then when I looked into it more, I was like, actually, this really makes sense from a aid relief sort of perspective. Yeah, okay. But I'm still putting it in because it's a cool idea.
They didn't show how you attach the water source. I assume you just have some water bladder and
a hose thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You like the next one, Bear Watch, which is –
I do like it.
We don't have bears here, maybe for the dingoes, but they probably work their way through.
It's not relevant, just to keep but I wanted to keep it in because I thought it was cool.
I was going to make a kid reference there, but maybe I'll leave that out. Portable electric fence, obviously in America, places that have bears, I can totally understand you want to keep them out of the campsite, but this is a little electric fence that you can put up around your tent. And if you watch the video, the bears walk up to it and then get shocked and run away.
And you can get it in like different sizes and lengths and stuff, but it comes in just like this little, I don't know, smaller than a football, like a little packed up canister thing. And then I saw some videos where you connect it to the edge of your tent, but then you can like run it around your tent, like each side, just do a bit of a zigzag on all four walls. And it comes with these little hooks that you can sort of hook onto your tent and stuff. And I was just like, man, that turns your entire tent into electric shock fence.
Faraday cage. I just got images
turns
of getting
your
off
tent
at night.
Into a Faraday cage.
Get up at night, busting for the toilet. You run out, trip on the electric fence. I'm not sure it's useful, but.
Sorry, I just knocked the microphone with my headset.
Oh, I don't, what's the power?
I'm just imagining you're not even. you're not even getting out the door of your tent.
It's just long gone. The, look, no danger of like a gas leak or something. Just died through a bear, electric bear fence, the Faraday cage. What? Laura's lost it. I might need to finish this off myself. What powers it? Like, is it just a USB power bank or something that's like?
It's got like one that I looked at because there's different sizes. It's got like a little battery thing with it.
Yeah, right.
So you just sort of plug it. But I didn't, you know, to be honest, I didn't do a deep dive into it, but at first I thought it was really cool. Now I'm just thinking it's hilarious. But again, if you lived in bear country, like for sure.
Yeah.
But here, obviously, we're super lucky. Realistically, we don't really have anything that's a danger to us Aussies. We're tough, mate. But yeah, I don't know. Drop bears, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was. Just anyway. Have a look. Have a look for yourself.
I'm going to look at how many watts it is.
Yeah, do it.
They're quite expensive. It's quite a system. Anyway.
I'm going to move on to the next one and then you chime in when you've got the info.
Yep.
So the next one is a Kickstarter, and I thought it was very cool, but in the realm of bougie sort of cool. It's called Magic Fort, and it's a tent that you set up that you – can also drive your car into, but has a bed that's suspended from the roof, like a loft bed over the top of your car.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah, it's like it hooks up to the frame and it's sort of supported a bit by the roof of your car, but you can also just drive your car out and your bed stays there because hopefully someone's not in it at that point because you're leaving in your car for a day trip. But I just, yeah, like when it's all zipped up, it's just this big, like huge, big tent. Your car's in there. It's, I don't know. Just
it's pretty cool.
Reminded me of a barn.
So make sure you turn the vehicle off when you zip the tent up.
Correct. That would not be a it does look good pretty idea.
Cool. Kids would love it.
Magic Fort. I just thought, you know what? That's cool.
Yeah. You don't have to get out of your tent to go to your car at night. It's all under the same shelter. And it's all air pole technology.
Yep. Yep. It is.
So I looked at the bear fence thing and they're using joules and that means I've got to use math to try and work out how to
like kill it.
But apparently it's 10 times more than other bear fences, but it's a 12 volt system. But that's as far as I'm going to go with the technical side of that.
If you are somebody who is a math wizard, give us the joules to watts conversion for the bear watt.
Interested in to know how it would render you if you were to get up and run over the fence at night. How does that compare to your average cattle fence on the farm that we've all touched with the back of our hands?
Of course
Sometimes with the front of our hands just to see what would happen.
Or accidentally done a pee on.
I was going to let that one go, but anyway, it's out there now. Next one, stake lights, pretty straightforward. We've had other similar things like this that just go on tent pegs or guy ropes so you can see them, but these are quite neat looking little LED lights, I think they are. They just hang on the guy ropes so that you don't trip over.
Yeah, they're like guy rope. Like you have, we've had stake lights before, but these are guy rope lights, and they're really cool because they're like maybe the size of a 20-cent piece, and they've got these little hooks that come off them. And as you've said, you can connect them to your guy rope, but they also do, I don't know, what are they? RYGB or whatever? Like they're full color spectrum LED lights, and so you can have a whole bunch, or you can just have a couple on. I don't know. They just look so nifty.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
And they're really, and because they're so small, you just chuck them in your kit.
Yep.
Love it. Because, cool, you know there's a tent peg there. Don't step on the tent peg, but
there's always one
clothesline yourself on the guy rope.
You're inevitably going to trip over.
That is true. Yeah.
The next one is pretty cool, actually.
I loved this. It's expensive, but I absolutely loved it.
Well, it's made all with titanium, but it's called a lumberjack, and it's a flat pack wood stove. So it's kind of modular. You can get all sorts of things to build it out, but it's got a little bit on the bottom so you can store your wood, and then the fire on top of that, and then you can
like
cook
a combustion
on it,
a heater, chimney, like yeah. you would have in your home.
But it all packs flat. I think it's only about 5 kilograms. I mean, it's all made of titanium, which correct. Is why it's so expensive and lightweight. But it's pretty cool,
and it's like a very small briefcase. Like when we say yeah. it packs flat, it packs flat. It's like a tiny little briefcase. It's got a carry handle,
yeah.
and it's super light.
Yep.
And I just, but the actual size of it is quite big at the end of the day. And it's just this, I don't know, I just thought it was cool, man.
It's a bit like we
technology is cool. Like the things that people were coming up with
yeah.
went, you know, but obviously you've got to have a lot of time and creativity to come up with something that's worthwhile. Like I'm sure there's lots of these little nifty inventions and stuff that people come up with that just don't stick. So we move on.
Yeah.
But some of them are cool.
Yeah. Another one coming up soon is pretty cool. But we've got like the Ozpig. So this is kind of like a light duty version of the Ozpig in a way.
Yeah. And it's got like a big sort of, I don't know if it's glass or what it is, but it's like got a big clear front door on it. And
so for those countries where you have a fire inside the tent and the kind of
I
don't quite know
snow.
The technical requirements behind making sure your tent doesn't burn down, but this would be a nice looking fire to have in that scenario.
Would totally be. Even if you just had it under your awning.
Mm.
You know, under your awning, like the edge of your awning and anyway.
Yeah, pretty cool. Check them out.
The next thing I first saw and I cracked up laughing, but then I thought about it a bit more and I was like, actually, it's potentially a cool idea.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. So it's a SUP tent. And when I say SUP tent, I mean stand up paddleboard, but it's like a hiking tent. So imagine a one person hiking tent that's been designed to be able to be fully installed and set up on a SUP. But you can also peg it out and set it up on a beach if you want.
Mm.
And I just thought to myself that, you know, you see people supping all the time. And I also have been, you know, up the river before and seen people supping up and down the river and all that sort of jazz. And it's like I think that a lot more people would have SUPs than kayaks, right?
Yeah, probably.
Because kayaks are like SUPs are a big investment, but kayaks are –
they're harder to store and manage and transport.
Harder to store and manage. And then if you're going for something like an inflatable kayak, that you know, your price is going up and up and up, and then you have weight limit restrictions and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, if you are someone who loves to SUP, imagine if you could just get yourself a nice big deck bag. You've got a SUP tent in there and you can just – sup up that starts supping up the river or down the river or probably down because I wouldn't want to go up the flow of the river on a sup. Or, you know, you're just going to go across the coast and you come across this little tiny beach cove and maybe, you know, or somewhere safe and you can, I don't know. I just thought it was cool.
You kind of, my thoughts were that it's making use of what you've already got. If you're going to go on a, like I think of in the South Australia, Murray River trip, right? Pack your stuff in a dry bag on your SUP, paddle down the Murray River on your SUP. You pull up on a little beach, your SUP becomes your mattress for the night, set your tent up over the top. You're not carrying a mattress as well.
Yep.
Pack it up and keep going the next day. Yep. Or just set it up while you're in the river and just keep floating down overnight.
Yeah.
So you know which way you're heading. You won't get lost.
Yeah. And I mean, worst case scenario, you just slowly float into a bank on a bend and you just stay there.
I don't recommend that, by the way. It's just
we definitely don't recommend that at all. Because imagine if you're in it and then it flips over and then you're sort of stuck inside this freaking tent that's half in the water.
One of the river locks or something like that.
Don't be in your SUP tent. If you do get completely influenced by Ben and me in this particular scenario and rush out to buy one of these SUP tents, please don't sleep in it it's on the water.
We might just bleep out the last minute of this conversation. Next one looks like something that should be landed on Mars, ironically, is called Mars
the
Players.
Brand
is it called The One? Is it Mars Players?
Yeah, Mars Players is the brand, it's called The One.
So how it looks fits the brand then, because it's called The One, which is this crazy expensive, but if
you don't check anything else out from this episode, check this one out.
Yeah, yeah, and give yourself a good 5 to 10 minutes to watch all of it
because look at it and you're like, I just don't get it. But then the more you look at it, the more you're like, whoa.
Yeah. So the video is kind of cool because it's got this guy like getting all this stuff out of his car and he's like struggling to carry all these things to the campsite and this thing's dropping out. And then the next shot shows him carrying this, which still looks quite big-ish, but just one item, puts it down, folds all these arms out like the Mars rover's landed and is just deploying all of its sort of surveillance equipment or whatever it is. But it's actually got a bunch of like heating elements and somewhere you can fry your steak that you can just cook on a mug. It had like an immediate chill thing, I thought I saw as well.
Pot,
so you can put your can on a chill spot. It's got a built-in like multi-tool that's just this big rod that's got a torch and a compass and all of this
emergency,
other stuff on it.
Emergency. It's like got an SOS built-in PLB. Yep. It's like got an emergency kit in it. It's a lighting system. It also has like an infrared heating panel so you can create a heater.
Yeah, it's got everyone's sitting around at night around this thing and they've all rugged up and they're got their jumpers on and then there's this red sort of things flying through the air and then they all take their jumpers off because it's so warm. I'm being critical of their video here, but
I know what you're saying.
But you can just turn those heating elements away and it becomes a heater and it's all battery powered. I don't know how long it lasts. I didn't look into the details there.
I didn't either, to be honest.
Charge it from your electric vehicle or from, also, I assume it's just 12 volt. Check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's expensive. And this is the one thing that I went, oh, that's like, that's just crazy. Who'd want that? But if
someone bought it for me.
If Lauren was to buy that for me.
Yeah. If I was to decide I wanted to spend $6,000 on a present for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think for me, it's one of the thing that I like about it for me personally is if this is sort of what we've got going on now, how is this sort of technology potentially going to be utilized and in more mainstream camping products into the future?
Yep.
Because a lot of questions we get from people, especially when we do Q&A sessions and stuff, is it's like, oh, how has camping technology changed or what are the advancements in camping? And it's like, you know, we often talk about air poles and, you know, we've sort of addressed that question a lot about camp gear when we were little versus now.
Mm.
And we're in this massive technology boom era, really. Mm. Like the 80s, you know, was a music era.
Yep.
But now it's, I don't know, I just think in another 10 years' time, what are we going to be sitting here talking about that's mainstream, accessible to all?
Yeah. I remember at least 10 years ago maybe, I remember taking a photo of my phone on the bottom of my car charging in the middle of nowhere from a USB power bank. Like that was, check this out. I can charge my phone in the middle of nowhere. I've got power in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's just charging
my phone. I do remember stuff like that.
And now there's this device that heats, cooks, chills, torch, keeps you alive, sends emergency signals, buttons all over it, and it's all battery powered. So battery power is where it's all going, right?
Yeah.
And technology is always improving. So we're just moving away from all the gas and the liquids and those things that are hard to transport. So, but check it out. You've got to give yourself a few minutes to have a look at the video on that one there.
So the next one is, it's called a cable lathe, right?
Pretty cool.
And I've seen heaps of these around before, but this particular one, which I said, you know, we've got the links for that as well. It's like a keyring version.
Mm.
And it's just something that you can use to turn a plastic bottle into a piece of cable. So it just sort of strips your plastic bottle down into varying lengths widths, which then you can use to tie stuff up or if you twisted it or you could ply it with another piece and create like a bit of a stronger rope or
a fishing line or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you'd fish with a plastic bottle, but I don't know, but I just thought.
Picture of him using it for fishing. That's where I got the idea
really?
From.
Yeah. I didn't actually look that
I don't know how you tie the hook to it, but, you know, in a pinch, like you think about it, you go, I'd have to have a plastic bottle, but then plastic's everywhere nowadays. You'd probably find a plastic bottle floating somewhere.
And people talk about like having zip ties and all this sort of stuff. And I'm just like, that would be a really nifty thing to just have on your key ring, I would have thought.
Yeah. Next time you need some cable. Yeah. You've got a plastic bottle. I'll get some cable together. They got pictures of like them lashed, like wood structures, like scout
together
style
and
structures over campfires and that sort of thing.
It's probably one of those more like the bug out sort of survivalist type situation, I would say. Because, I mean, everybody watches Alone. If you don't watch Alone, you should watch Alone, but everybody watches Alone.
Yeah.
And how often are they in the middle of nowhere and they come across a plastic bottle?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a plastic bottle is something that a lot of survivalists probably factor in to potential as a potential find.
Yep.
The next one I'm going to talk about because.
But it's my turn.
I don't care. I thought this was so wicked and I didn't know that the whole thing it is. I just saw one product and I was like, oh, that is boss. And then I realized it was part of a whole other thing. and that is Makita. So if you're someone who uses Makita tools, I use Makita tools. So I've already got a whole range of different batteries. And Makita, as everybody knows, like a lot of tool brands, but let's face it, Makita's great. It comes with an ecosystem already. Mm-hmm. So now Makita have expanded into an outdoor adventure range.
Yep.
So green. They're not just tools, mate. It's like outdoor adventure gear. So we're talking like a Makita battery powered kettle, a Makita battery powered coffee machine, like fan. A fan. Well, I've already got a fan because fans come in handy on work sites and stuff. Mm. But, you know, there's like a fan and a boom box. I've already got those two. But there's like an air compressor that you can use to do your SUPs or your air mattresses. Yep. Like there's just so much awesome gear that's purely designed for camping.
So excited.
So if you are a Makita, like how many tradies do you know that camp? So many.
Yeah.
And how many of them would have Makita? So many.
And it's probably the same truck that they use for trade and they just throw the swag on and then correct. Go camping anyway.
And they're so probably go some work already, site to campsite. They've probably already got some sort of off-grid 12-volt dual battery system in there to charge their Makita batteries when they're on a job site all day. Mm. So it's already there for camping. Get yourself some Makita camping accessory gear, appliance, things.
I had a quick look, but check out the link. There's heaps there and it's this nice green color instead of that.
Well, that's a Makita USA. So I don't I don't know how much of it is available in Australia yet, but I have seen a few pieces and I'm pretty stoked about it.
Cool. Next one.
Hurabag
water filter, which is sort of a technology that's been around for a while, but this combines a whole bunch of different, I just had a quick read about it.
Did you watch any videos of it?
Not of how it works, but well, no, no, I don't think I did. Mm. But it looks like it uses multiple different, techniques to clean water, starting with flocculation to remove all the sediment. So the sediment floats out of the water and then it goes through carbon and microfiber, filtration to create clean water. So you can take pretty dirty water and turn it into clean water.
So the thing that I loved about this bag when I first saw it, and I first saw it ages ago, because a friend sent it to me and I couldn't find it again when I wanted a point of reference. And I may have mentioned it before on the show, but I can't remember. But the thing that I loved about it is that it's a huge, like quite a large volume bag. And I guess the way that it's shaped is, as you would imagine, a huge bladder. But at the bottom, it sort of has a long, sort of tapers down into a very long, thin tube. Yep. And there is a section that you can seal off between the long thin tube thing at the bottom and the top of the bag.
You just twist it. Okay. So the flocculation drops down. Yeah.
And so therefore you can lock off the cleared water because all the sediment's fallen down to the bottom and then you can release that tube and all the sediment falls out and then you can seal it back up again. And it's just, I don't know, the whole thing's pretty cool, especially if you are camping somewhere where your water source. I mean, we talk a lot about my brain's jumping around everywhere. Sorry, everyone. But we've had episodes before where we've talked about carting water when you're camping and how you can access clean water and whether or not you're going somewhere where there's water out of sight and all of that sort of stuff. If you are somewhere where you're camping next to a big dam or, you know, and high sediment water is going to be your only access, but you don't want to carry 1,000 liters of water with you, it's potentially a good option.
So it's taking river water, like water that's typically brown, but not, I mean, we use the Murray River, for example. There's a lot of farming properties along the edge of it. So you wouldn't drink it straight out of the Murray. You could put it through filtration and treat it, but you're probably still going to have brownish water and you're going to clog your filter up really quickly.
Yeah.
But this goes through multiple steps so that you remove all the sediment out of the water to start with so it becomes clear. Mm-hmm. Then you filter it so your filter lasts longer and it goes through the carbon, I think it was a carbon element too, so it removes a lot of the tastes and heavy metals and stuff as well. So, yeah, pretty
cool. And I mean, even if you were someone who wanted to cart drinking water or dishes water or something, but you wanted water for like showers or, you know, I would probably be happy to have a quick 2-3 minute shower in river, warm river water. Like I wouldn't want to drink it obviously without filtration because of what you said, like ag chemicals and things like that. But a really quick shower might be something you're happy with.
That's pretty cool. Check it out. Next one, on the same sort of topic, portable desal. Now I've had questions about portable desalination units for many, many years.
Same. And that's why I chucked it in because
this is the neatest one I've seen. Mm-hmm. It looks, I think it's expensive. I didn't see if there was a price on there, but it looks reasonably compact and easy to use and portable. A lot of the time what I had seen in the past was a portable option, but it was still pretty bulky.
Yeah, and a lot of options that I've seen rely on distilling.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And this uses reverse.
Whereas this one's, is it reverse osmosis?
Yeah.
And it, like you say, it's portable. I've never seen anything like this. Mm. And we get questions all the time about what have you got for seawater? Nothing. This might, this is one of those things where I think in 10 years' time, this is what's going to be in the mainstream market, this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well, most of our water is probably going to end up in the ocean anyway. It'll be all too salty, so we're going to need desal to make it drinkable. But check it out. We don't have a lot of this stuff, including this, by the way, but I'm sure if a
portable desalination. Like with other weird and wonderful episodes, it's just what's out there. That's cool.
But if a portable desal becomes available to us and is somewhat affordable, then it's something we consider for our
range. Oh, I'd be punching it to Dave and the purchasing team for sure.
Yeah. Oh, your turn.
So this is one that we sell, and it's not weird, but I think it is kind of wonderful.
It's cool.
It's it's called Gerber Freescape Camp Saw, and it's a hacksaw, but it is collapsible.
It's a fold.
It's like
one.
Yeah, it's like a fold. It's like
sort of thing.
The only thing I can think of to describe it is Meccano.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
So it's like you got a couple of big Meccano pieces that you hook together to create the hacksaw frame, and then you've just got your blade. But otherwise it's collapsible and it's, you know, nice and strong. And Gerber's a pretty good brand.
Yeah. I've carried like the saws with the really rough teeth. There's a name for it. I can't think what it is now. I've carried them before and they're kind of clunky to carry because the teeth are sharp. You've got to make sure they're covered up and it's kind of got that triangle shape that's hard to pack. This removes all of that. You can just pack it in anywhere, take it in place of an axe. It's much lighter weight.
Yep.
And you can chop up small firewood if need be. Yeah. And the last one was Go Sun Infusion Solar Camp Oven. I looked at the picture. I didn't look in detail, but I got the general gist of how this works.
Mm.
All kind of folds up into a bit of a, not a cylinder, but looks a little bit like a laminator or like, you know, those laminators that you put
it
through.
Is round though. It sort of looks a bit space agey.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
When it's open, because you open it up and then it's got these reflective panels that and a cooking chamber in the middle. So you put your food in there and then direct the reflecting panels towards the sun, and then that reflects all the lights, heat energy to the food in the middle to, I don't know how.
It said four to five meals apparently that you can do at once.
Okay.
But it wasn't massive, which I thought was super interesting, but I wanted to chuck it in there because we get quite a few questions for solar camp ovens.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not sure. I don't know if this was a Kickstarter one or if it's just like a already established overseas sort of product, but it sort of reminds me of some sort of, you know, nuclear fusion sort of, it looks a bit space agey, where the center of it is like a large pipe. And then you sort of put your drawer in or you pull this thing out of the pipe and you can put all your food in and then you push it back into the pipe and that's where it cooks.
Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of actually? Just I'm looking at Benji's phone because he's pulled it out to have another quick look at it. Imagine you go down to your local fish and chip shop. They do Euros's and you're looking at the Euros stand and it's like the Euros on the meat and it's got the big heat reflector things around it. Imagine that but sideways on a picnic table and your big thing of Euros meat is the central core where all your food's going. It's sort of got that sort of vibe to it.
I wonder how hot it gets. I'm just having a quick look now. Should have done my research beforehand.
Well, one of the videos I watched, they were pulling out a bloody rolled roast.
Oh, here you go. Temperatures at over 400 Fahrenheit. What's that to?
I don't know.
It's obviously a US product. There's an image here that shows red hot in the middle. It's probably a stretch.
I don't reckon it would be because you think about getting into your car on a peak summer's day. You can't touch the bloody steering wheel.
Yeah, I suppose. It's going to be very dependent on the sun, I suppose. But anyway, it does look pretty cool.
204 degrees Celsius. Oh, there
you go. So it does get pretty hot. So I wonder if you could do like boil water or heat water or something in it because you can just leave it out.
I don't know.
Stuff during the day. It's a cool idea.
It would
be
a long time. But yeah, like I said, one of the videos, they pulled a rolled roast out of it.
Yeah, okay. So in those instances where you're summer camping, kind of a campfire, right?
Yeah.
You've got to use gas, might not want to carry gas. So this is another step when we talk about 12 volt, this is another step towards not having to take gas or use flame to cook with.
And of course, like a lot of the stuff, because that was the last, our last bit of weird and wonderful. But of course, a lot of the stuff we've talked about are not necessarily practical things. But I, as I've said, I just think they're cool. Yeah. It's just cool to know what's out there. And, you know, there might be someone being, you know what, I've been looking for a solar oven for ages and this actually looks really good and it's worth the investment.
All of these things, usually, well, most of these things get run past our purchasing department at some stage. So it's on the, always on the radar. Like, that's pretty cool. We'll keep an eye out if something's got to be affordable and functional and, you know, isn't going to, actually does what it says it's going to do. But all of these things look pretty cool. So, yeah, check them out.
I want to know what you think.
Yeah, we'll put all the links down below.
In our show notes,
give yourself a good 15 minutes to half an hour to flick through them all and be entertained.
I basically want to know what you guys would buy out of this stuff. What do you think is something that you could actually see yourself buying and using? And what's something out of like the more techy stuff, what's something that you reckon could potentially take off for the future?
What's yours? No, budget aside, what would you buy?
Oh, that's a really...
Put you on the spot.
Budget aside. Well, obviously, I'm going to get that City Summit D2 stainless steel utensil set because I thought that was great. Sorry. Budget aside, I'd get that titanium flat pack wood stove personally.
Yeah, okay.
I just thought that was the coolest. Budget aside, you'd obviously get that Mars Play as the one. You would. I know you would.
I'm finding it really hard to find a reason not to get that just out of curiosity, but I do feel like it's potentially something that you'd use a couple of times and then maybe not use
it all the time. It's so applicable for you, Data Ben, as well, but like Data Star Trek character Ben. It's applicable.
Oh, is that? Oh, because it's a space age.
Space thing.
Anyway, it'd be good to see how well it works. If it does what the video shows it does, then it'd be a pretty cool product. Yeah, because I like it's got little hot plates so you can just heat up a cup of
water
at a time.
It's wicked.
And there's four of them. So you could do four cups of tea at once or coffee. Anyway, weird and wonderful number. We think it's number three anyway.
Pretty sure it's number three. Weird and wonderful number three.
Roughly three.
Catch you next time.
Thanks for watching. Subscribe if you haven't already.
Catch you later, guys.
See you guys.